Jesus, we pray that you have been glorified this morning by our response to you. That, Lord God, in this very simple sacrament, that we have identified ourselves with you. That we are sinners saved by grace. And that there is one man who brought us all that new identity. And his name is your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for now giving us access to you at all times. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for your anointing, that we can find ourselves to be a new creation in Christ Jesus through your empowerment in our life. Hallelujah. And thank you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said? Amen. Identity. Identity. You know, it's a big topic. In fact, we're sometimes worried about identity theft, right? Because there are people out there that want our identity. You know what? I want people to steal my identity. Honestly. I'd love to have more Don Tijimas. No. No. What I want you to steal from me is my identity in Jesus Christ. Because I identify myself as a child of God because of Jesus Christ. And so I desire for all of you to steal the same identity that I have and be children of the Most High God. Amen? Because there was a whole thing that Jesus did in coming and sacrificing his life for you and for me. And that thing that he did was to bring us all into a new kingdom. A kingdom that is not a physical kingdom. Oh, it will be. Eventually, it'll be a physical kingdom, but right now, it is a spiritual kingdom. And we are human beings pressed into a spiritual existence here upon this very physical earth. And that's where the conflict comes in our hearts and in our minds, is we are trying to battle this thing out. You are called to a war. But you're called to a war not for your identity, but for the identity of Jesus Christ in this world. We are a kingdom of priests. Have you ever thought of yourself that way? You know, you think it's, well, no, I don't have a microphone. I'm not up there talking. No. You know what? You are called to be a priest, which means that you are a servant to God. You are called to serve God with whatever abilities and talents that God puts within you. I never would have imagined myself as a preacher, and some of you go, yeah, well, you still aren't. Thank you for your love. However, God has called me to this, and I do it to the best of my ability and with the empowerment of His Holy Spirit. I do not step into this pulpit in my own power. Instead, I call out to God every week, Lord, not me, but let your words be heard through me. Because this is not about a popularity contest of Don Tijima. This is about bringing the word of God to all of you. So that then we are all on the same page. You know, the winner of the NFL game today, you want to know who it is? I can give you the prediction already. You know who's going to win? It's the, yeah, the commercials. Dilly dilly. You got me going on that, didn't you? You people, stay focused. It's the team that is able to carry out their game plan. And as they see their opponent reacting to their game plan to be able to adjust it so that they can continue putting more points on the board. and keeping the other team from scoring points. That's the team that's going to win. You thought I was going to give you a name, huh? Yeah. I am not that patriotic. I'm going to fly like eagle's wings. No, I just did not do that, did I? You are a kingdom people. You belong to the kingdom of God. How did you come into such a lovely thing? Well, through what we just celebrated. The life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has paid your Super Bowl ticket into heaven. A cost that none of us could come up with. A price that none of us could pay. Only Jesus could pay our way into the greatest party ever. It's a party that will be for eternity. And Jesus has given us the ticket in. Hallelujah. We are kingdom people. It started off in the Old Testament. You see, God created people, right? We understand that from the Genesis story. God created Adam and Eve. Out of the dust of this earth, Adam was created. And then Eve, from the rib of a man. As some woman that we came across once said to Suzanne and I, she says, "I'm nothing but a rib." But then she looked at me and she goes, "But you ain't nothing but dust." We are kingdom people. And as kingdom people, we have one focus. We have one thing to keep in mind, that we live not for me or for anyone else. We live for our King. Did you notice the words in the music today? Lord, reign in me. You are my King. We declared it in song. Did we mean it from our hearts? Because that's the kind of people that God is looking for. People who will not just make a show of it, but people who will live it out. And not just on an hour for Sunday morning, but all week long. Everyone that you come into contact with should see. You are a kingdom person. Why? Because you are bringing the kingdom of God into their very presence. Why? Because the kingdom of God lives in you. And so wherever you go, whatever you're about, you bring the presence of God. People should celebrate when they see you. People should look at you and go, "Whoa, that happy, joyful person who doesn't seem to have a care in the world, how do they get that hope? Where did they get that confidence? How can they seem to walk above their circumstances?" And when their curiosity eats at them enough to where they finally engage you and say, "You know, excuse me, but I've just got to know, why are you such a smiley person all the time?" That you can say, "It's because I know where I'm headed. And where I'm headed, there is absolutely no sad faces. So I'm practicing already, having my happy face. For that place that I am going to abide forever." Forever, folks, forever. You see, the things of this world, they're just temporary. I know they seem really huge and big sometimes, but they're temporary. Keep that in mind and live for a kingdom that is eternal. You are kingdom people. Now, God created people from the very beginning, and he chose a special group of people to be his kingdom people. And you think, what? You mean God plays favorites? Yeah, it's in his word. He played favorite, and in the Old Testament, he picked out a group of people called the Israelites. People that were descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob, whose name was changed by the Lord into Israel. A people chosen for God. Now, the Old Testament is all about their walk, their failures. They're pleading out to their God, and God, again, revealing himself and his mighty power to them and redeeming and restoring them. And then they would go about, and God, oh, God is great, God is good. And then they'd start looking at the gods of the world, of the people around them, and they'd wander away from God. And tragedy would come upon them. I mean, this story goes over and over and over again in the Old Testament. Is it any wonder that some of us have that same Christian walk? That we are really, really, really strong on Sunday morning. Oh, man, nothing can tear me away from the faith in Jesus Christ. Woohoo! I mean, I am a mighty warrior for Jesus as long as I'm here in church. And then I leave the building, and all of a sudden I start looking at the gods of this world, and I start looking at other people, and all of a sudden my faith just tanks. And the troubles and the trials of life just do me over. And then I drag myself back in next Sunday if I'm not too embarrassed by what happened during the week. And I'm in here, and I'm going, woohoo, yeah, Jesus! And you get relieved again. It doesn't have to be that way. It's what you see your identity in that matters. Yes, let Jesus swallow up your identity and be identified in who he is. Become a child of God. Kingdom people. Exodus 19, verses 3 to 6, it's in your outline, in your bulletin. I would really be pleased if you would read this aloud for me, because this is how the Jewish people used to do it. That way they'd not only be reading it, but they'd be saying it, and they'd be hearing it from other people speaking the word of God. So Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 to 6. Ready? Then Moses went up to God, and Jehovah called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." Do you think the Israelites accepted those words in that day? Some of them gladly, okay, and others, they were kind of on the fence, you know, kind of not quite in, you know, it's like, we're chosen people? We're to be a kingdom of priests? We're to obey God fully and keep his covenant? It sounds good, but I'm not sure that I'm all in. And there are some of you in this room that are even that way. You hear about the wonderful gift of Jesus Christ, that he died for your sin. Oh, you can give mental assent to that. But in your heart of hearts, you haven't really dug into it. You haven't identified yourself with Christ. You've been too puffed up worrying about who you are instead of worrying about who you are and who Christ is in and through you. You're called to be a kingdom people. Now, how did God call the Israelites to be a kingdom people? I want to look at this morning, and I want you to look at it as well. There were three experiences of Israel. Three experiences of Israel that I want you to look at. Number one, what God did to the Egyptians. Egypt, it's well known that Egypt represents sin and bondage. Anybody have a problem with that? Every hand ought to be up in this room right now, I'm telling you. And I don't mean just be checking for the air conditioning. No. Every one of us have an issue with sin and bondage. Right? What did God do to the Egyptians? He destroyed the sin and the bondage, and he brought his people out from the sin and bondage and into a freedom in him. Can I hear an amen in the house? Please, come on. Wake up. Come on. This is good stuff. Just as God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery. You see, some of us are, we feel like we're slaves to our sin. You're not. You're to be a slave unto God. And you deal with your sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. Is it an easy battle? No, it's not. We battle against our flesh all the time. We want to be spiritual people. We want to be filled with the Spirit of God. However, there is always something that is a blockade to us. Kill that Egypt. Kill your Egypt. Deal with it. Call out for the power of Jesus Christ to utterly smash your Egyptian. And I don't mean that as a term to them, to the Egyptians today. What is your sin? What is your bondage? Jesus died for it. He died that you might become more than victorious over that thing. What is it that keeps tripping you up? Surrender it to Jesus. Be done with it. You know why you keep tripping over it? Because you keep throwing it back down. You keep walking back in that same path. Isn't that the definition of an idiot? Someone who, insanity, or an idiot, pretty much. Insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. We can't. We are called to not only ask for forgiveness of our sins, we are to ask for forgiveness of our sins, but thank you, Brother Willie, what was that word? We are to repent from our sins. Did the Israelites want to go back to Egypt? Many times they expressed that, and so do we. Because we want to put ourselves back in that sin and bondage that Jesus Christ has paid the price to get us out of. Why? Why? Think about it. You don't have to. You choose to. What do you choose to do today? Three experiences of Israel. What God did to the Egyptians. He annihilated them. Has God annihilated your Egypt? Number two, God carried them on eagle's wings. God carried them out on eagle's wings. You have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings. You know what carrying you on eagle's wings represents? Today, it's the Spirit of God working in you to carry you above your trials and tribulations. To carry you above. It's God carrying you. It's God being more than enough. Is God your all supplier? Yes, He is. He is more than enough for each and every one of us. He is not a God of lack. He is not a God whose shelves are bare. No. He is more than enough for each of us. And for every trial that you have, God is more than enough. He wants to carry you on eagle's wings. He wants His Holy Spirit to just cover you and teach you to be more than an overcomer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Third thing, third experience of Israel, how God brought them unto Himself. Why does God look for kingdom people? Because He wants to bring them to Himself. What does that mean? Well, in the old days, in the old ways of worshiping God, a high priest could only go into the temple, the most holy of holy places, once a year, and that covered by multiple sacrifices, right? Once a year. And they had bells on the bottom of their garments so they could hear whether or not this priest was still alive. And they would tie a rope on their ankle in case they died in the presence of the Holy of Holies, because no impurity can stand with him. And they would drag out the dead priest if they had to. I never see that recorded in any of the scriptures that they had to do that, but that was a preparation that they had. God wants to bring you to Himself. When Christ died on that cross, that tent of meeting was ripped from the top to the bottom, basically saying, I am here and I'm available to you. You won't ever get turned away by God. Whenever you call out to Him, there won't ever be a voice coming back and saying, I'm sorry, we're too busy right now. You know, this is the flu season, don't you understand? You know, there are a lot of people calling out to me right now. You know, no, God will never turn you back. Instead, He's always there. His door is always open to you. These were the three experiences of Israel. They are our experiences as well. God desires to bring us out of our sin and bondage, to carry us on the wings of His Spirit, and to bring us onto Himself. Two conditions of this blessing, though. God spoke this. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant. Those are the two conditions of blessing. You see, God blesses obedient children. He doesn't bless disobedience. Just like we don't as parents. When our child, I'm not even going to put a name out there, but when our child takes the crayon and writes all over the wall, we do not bless them. Oh, you sweet little child, thank you. I was looking to redecorate that wall anyway. You know, no. What do? We punish that child, right? And we tell them about the error of their ways. No, mommy and daddy did not want that wall changed with a crayon. I'm sorry. Yes, those are exciting colors, and I love your creativity, your imagination. However, it's just not prized right now. We have places that we want you to use those crayons. And the walls are not those. Unless, of course, you have that wonderful paint that they've now developed where kids can write on the walls and you can just go up there and wipe it right off. You know, unfortunately, they did not have that while I was parenting. It would have saved my kids terrible beatings. But two conditions of God's blessing of you. You got to obey God's voice fully. And you got to keep God's covenant or His commands. Well, how do we know it's God's voice? Well, number one, it comes right out of here. You hear God's voice right here. This is number one place, right? Number two, oh, you go to church and you hear a good sermon, perhaps. And you hear the voice of God, or you get together in a Bible study with others, or it can just be in your alone time. I love getting alone with Papa. I just really dig it. When I just throw everything else down, no cell phone, no computer, nothing but my Bible, a notebook to write things down, and just time with Papa. It's such a blessing. It's a blessing to God, number one, that you will set aside that time to just be with Him. But number two, you're going to be blessed if God's blessed. Amen? So, obey God's voice fully. Keep God's covenant or His commands. Well, do we have covenant and commands today to follow? Yes, we do. We're to love God with everything that we are, with everything that we are, with every ounce of energy that we are. We don't just give God here. You have this portion of my life. No, God has all of your life, or He doesn't have anything at all. That's the deal, folks. You're either all in or you're not. God won't take fence sitters. Well, I really like to be in because it makes me look good on Sunday morning. However, you know, I get out to my work buddies and I become like them. And you know what? You become a hypocrite because you profess to those other people that you are a Christian, and yet your behavior doesn't really play it out, does it? Two conditions of blessing. Obey God's voice fully. Keep His commands. Love Him with everything that you are, and love others as you love yourself. And how do you love yourself? By loving God. By loving God. Three blessings that are based upon obedience. I love this. You will be a treasured possession to God. You will be a kingdom of priests. You will be a holy nation. People in California, unfortunately, have really had to think about this. They haven't had to just think about it. They've actually had to put their thoughts into action. Wildfires were coming like crazy. People had barely any time to hardly escape their homes. Let me ask you this question. Do any of you have a treasured possession? Something that you would not want to see destroyed in a fire? Good answer, Dan. You're going to win a lot of love points. The love bank just went, you know, crazy on you. Ding, 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 ding. What's a treasured possession? It's something that you hold so dear, that gives you worth, that means plenty to your heart and your mind, that you just will not be parted with it. I asked my wife this question yesterday. I said, honey, if there was a fire, what's the one treasured possession that you would want to get out with? And she goes, my wedding ring.
Ah,
the girl owns me. I said, thank you. I said, but why? Why your wedding ring? She goes, because I made vows to God. And that's my reminder. I'm loved. I'm highly blessed. I'm richly favored. What's your treasured possession? Think about it. Now I want you to think about this. You are a treasured possession to God because He does not want you to get burned up in a fire. Oh, hello. Did that flip anybody's switch right there? You are a treasured possession of God because He doesn't want to see you get burned up in a fire. How about that? You ever thought of yourself in that way? I am a treasured possession of God. You're called to be a kingdom of priests. Again, priests was the office of those who would serve God. You are all called to serve God. How do I serve God? I don't have the answer to that, folks. But you're the pastor. I know, I'm the pastor. I'm not God. Hello? You've got to seek out where God wants you to serve. Not where I see the needs. Oh, I see the needs. Boy, I see the needs. I see the needs where things need to be done in this church. God is looking for priests, those who will step up and serve Him. You see, because He's the one that's going to be the rewarder of what you do, not me. If you're coming to do things at the church thinking, okay, well, you know, the pastor better give me 100 or 200 to do that, you know, excuse me. I did not get into ministry to get rich, nor did I get into ministry to give all my money away. You are supposed to do things as unto the Lord. Amen? And each of us, according to what He calls us to do. You will be a holy nation. A holy nation. It means being a holy nation, we all have one idea, one purpose, one thing that we're supposed to be about. And that's to be the holiness of God to a world that is so unholy. Amen? Something I was really blessed by last night is I was looking up songs on YouTube, worship songs on YouTube. And I came across Selena Gomez and her testimony. She recently went through some physical illness. And out of that physical illness, she ended up calling out to God. And she now has a tremendous testimony of her belief in Jesus Christ. Justin Bieber came up as well. And I kind of went, no, that was the guy that influenced my grandson to wear his hair, that funky thing, you know. And I'm not quite sure about that, but to listen to his testimony. You know what? Every sinner has a past. Or every believer has a past. Excuse me. Every believer has a past. Every sinner has a future. Okay? Every believer has a past. We in this room, we all got a past. And some of them are really ugly. We don't need to do comparisons because what does that do? That just builds up the work that Satan did in our life when we were not following after God. But we all have a future. And we could turn and face that future and become a kingdom that belongs to God, a holy nation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It's in your outline there. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. You are a chosen people. Who is Peter writing to? Well, if you back up and you go into the context of that scripture, he is talking to the believers in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as their Savior, as their Lord. It is my desire that every person in this room would be that kind of person. I do not want you to be an emulator of Don Tijima. Only as you see Christ in me do I want you to imitate me. That's only the only area that you can imitate. The rest of it, I want you to be your own personality, the person God has called you to be. You see, I can't be a Linda Collins. I can't be an Eric Embertson. I can't play that 12-string. My fingers get up on that thing, you guys be running out of here. I can't be an Eddie Mahoney. And I praise God that I'm not a Shirley Chandler. No. Because I know her history and I know the amount of pain that she's had to walk through. I've helped her walk through some of the pain of her life. And I praise God that I haven't had to go through that pain. That was not a diss on her. That was a love on her. We are not called to be other people. We're called to be the chosen people of God. We're called to be a kingdom of priests. The Matthew passage at the end of your outline. Would you read this as a prayer to God? Because this comes right out of the Lord's Prayer. The disciples, they asked Jesus, you know, can you teach us how to pray? We want to know how to pray. And so he told them. And in that prayer are these words. Would you pray these words with me, not just to be reading them, but read them out of belief in your heart. Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For you are the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. For who's the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever? Amen. Our Father. And we are His children. So we are the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. If you are a kingdom people, that is your decision. Now, just so that you don't have to be thinking, well, what am I going to go have for lunch? I'm going to invite you to come on down and have some lasagna, some garlic bread, some salad, some desserts that y'all brought in. I mean, let's go down and eat like champions and bring glory to God. Because we're all called to be a sanctuary, a place where His dwelling is. Amen? In the old days, there was a temple, a physical temple. We are now that temple. And so this song declares, I want to be a sanctuary. So Lord, prepare me.